Johnny Mac with your Daily Comedy News. Remember, you can support the show at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. I will buy an iced coffee like this one that I bought from Dunkin' Donuts. Sacha Baron Cohen spoke to CBS, and he said Borat 2 was not a prank movie. It was my form of peaceful protest. In these moments, you risk arrest or sometimes something even more dangerous. So this was the first movie where I've been advised to wear a bulletproof vest during a couple of scenes. Holy cow. One of them was at a gun rally in Washington State where I was singing a song called The Wuhan Flu. I think that's the funniest scene in the movie. But that's scary, man. There was even a moment where he was chased off a stage. Sacha says, yeah, a group of armed members of the crowd stormed the stage, overpowered the security, and one of them actually reached for his pistol. And I was extremely lucky that I had a fantastic bodyguard who grabbed the guy's arm and told him, whispered the words, the phrase, it's not worth it, buddy. Holy cow. CBS's interviewer asked him, you know, at any point, were you like, why are you doing this? Sacha said, throughout the whole movie, I remember being in the bathroom before that gun rally, and I was putting on a bulletproof vest, and I was looking at myself in the mirror just thinking, I must be completely mad. What are you doing? And then there's that scene where he spent 5 days in COVID lockdown with two conspiracy theorists. He said, I think I had close to having a panic attack. There's no crew around, and I thought, how do I do this? How am I not going to slip up, you know, having breakfast, lunch, dinner, getting drunk with them in the evenings? Jim and Jerry, which is their names, were good guys. You know, they were kind to a foreigner. They were actually, to a degree, they're feminists. But they believed in some reprehensible conspiracy theories, and it wasn't really their fault. They'd been fed a diet of these lies and conspiracy theories on social media and by various news channels. We're living in a dangerous age where the difference between fact and fiction is not evident anymore. Will he do another undercover movie? Nope, I can't do it again. I was lucky to make it out of this one fully intact, so no. MPS Mag has a nice profile of Maria Bamford. They wrote, a lot of people call her a genius. Mark Maron calls her a genius. Mike Birbiglia and John Mulaney, too. Like the comedy of Andy Kaufman, Richard Pryor, and Robin Williams, her comedy works in many simultaneous layers, not just funny, but also pure absurdity and heart-wrenching pathos. All of it's so complex and interrelated, it can feel like your mind is cracking open and learning new ways to think as it chases after her while she gallops along. The writer finds her work gives her courage, so much so that she doesn't really like to talk about it too much, because if you insult her, it will be personal to the writer and she won't like you anymore. The writer spoke to Maria about Maria's mom, who passed away, said, I'm so sorry about your mother. Maria said, thank you, my beloved mother. This may sound creepy, and if it does, everyone can go to hell, but I can do a very good impersonation of my mother. Now, to comfort myself, I talk to myself saying what I think my mother would say. Sometimes I skew a little bit more supportive than she may have been on certain issues, but it's totally devastating. Also, I want to celebrate what an incredible person my mom was. She was not a saint. She spanked us, and in the 70s, as my friend Jackie Cation says, that was the golden age of hitting, and we got hit a tremendous amount. The great thing was, she just kept saying to us as a family with more eye contact as she said it. And then Bamford switched into her mother's voice. You guys are going to be fine. Then switching back to her own voice. What's hard is my mom loved life. I'm always on the fence about life. I could really take it or leave it on a regular basis, but she loved everything about it. My mom could wax poetical about this car wash bench I'm sitting on. Switch back to her mom's voice and said, honey, it's got breathable circles in it so you won't get too hot when you're sitting. This is just wonderful. I wonder if we could get one of these for the backyard. I mean, they're sort of industrial looking, maybe dramatic, not exactly Scandinavian. I'm going to ask the guy inside. Bamford goes back to her normal voice and says, my mom would be irritated if I lost my mind, and I really thought I would when she left the bounds of Earth, but I actually felt okay. Obviously, I'm weeping uncontrollably whenever I think of her and I'm alone, or if I listen to a voicemail message she left me, but I felt okay because I'm on my meds. The Guardian wrote about 10 comics to watch in 2021. This will be educational for me. You know, I know a decent amount about comedy, but I am not well-versed in every British comedian out there. So let's see who The Guardian is into this year. Kay Curd, K-A-E, new word, K-U-R-D, this year sees the biggest tour yet for the British Kurdish stand-up, whose political but accessible comedy you may have seen at Live at the Apollo, sporting Mo Gilligan, or on Charlie Booker's Death to 2020. Chloe Fineman is on their list. I know Chloe because I live in the States. She's a featured player on SNL. You know who Chloe is. Next up, The Delightful Sausage. Don't know what that is, but I love the name. They were Comedy Award nominated at the Edinburgh Fringe, featured on Harry Hill's Club Night, and brightened up lockdown with their podcast, Tiredness Kills. All right, Tiredness Kills. I'm going to check out the podcast and the delightful sausage. Maisie Adam is a former winner of Prestige Talent Show, So You Think You're Funny. Really? You guys have a show called So You Think You're Funny? That sounds like it's probably awful. The American versions of like comedy competitions, they're always awful because you have to be funny in 8 seconds. Here, I'm going to say something. I will illustrate this. I'm going to say something really vulgar in a second. I'm deliberately going to do it vulgar because I illustrate this as an example of being funny for 3 seconds does not make someone a stand-up comedian. But I will sometimes do this to illustrate it. This is really bad. And I know I have a lot of women listeners. You're going to be like, wow, he's a complete asshole. I'm just doing this to illustrate the point. I don't actually like this thought. I don't actually do this in my real life. But here's the illustration of something that will get a laugh when I do it in a room. So I punched her in the pussy. That will get a laugh. That's not a joke. There's no setup there. I just said something insane and people will laugh at it. So comedy competitions, when you do these things for 3 to 5 seconds, yeah, all right. You gotta laugh. That doesn't make you a comic. Maisie Adam is a former winner of Prestige Talent Show, So You Think You're Funny. Elsa Majimbo is a Kenyan social media sensation aged 19. In her videos, she chomps on crisps and comments on COVID, among other things. Jordan Firstman, his arch Instagram impressions have made this screenwriter hot property. Assuming his apology is accepted for some indelicate tweeting nearly a decade ago, this could be his year. Uh-oh, what happened? I am Googling Jordan Firstman tweets. HITC.com has this handy article called Why is Jordan Firstman Canceled? Let's see. Jordan Firstman has landed himself in hot water after his past tweets surfaced online. Fans called him out for racist and tone-deaf tweets. One of his tweets apparently was, speaking of homeless people, has anyone tried killing one? That's terrible. Another read, I hate Indian people because at my last Dublin Donuts, they knew my name and order, and at this one, they don't. Those aren't funny at all, aside from being horrible. All right, I'm canceling Jordan Firstman. Take him off the list, Guardian. Nabil Abdul Rashid placed 4th on Britain's Got Talent last year. Tabloid outrage at his material on race and religion added a dash of notoriety. In 2021, he embarks on his biggest tour to date. All right, let's see what happened there. Google's Nabil Abdul Rashid. Let's see what comes up. The Guardian says he received death threats. Let's see. In the wake of his performances, where he publicly supported Black Lives Matter and made fun of people who had written in to complain about his political routine, he received death threats. He said, the hate has been vile. I've had death threats. I've had racist abuse from people, all kinds of stuff. I was ready for it. I was warned about it. It's not surprising because in this country, somebody got crap for marrying a prince. So I'm out here making fun of people and doing all these jokes. Of course, I expected it. On stage during the final, he had said, they complained because we said Black Lives Matter. Thousands of complaints. To be honest, I'm shocked that many of them knew how to write. He said Britain's Got Talent was a launchpad for him to reach a wider audience after years of struggling to progress through the British comedy world. He said there are comedy promoters who will say, sorry, we had a black act last week, so we can't have you on this week. And the other black act is actually nothing like you. There are comedy promoters like that to this day. Holy crap. He said he'd been inspired to apply for Britain Got Talent after seeing his friend and fellow comedian Deliso Chapanda become a finalist in 2017. He saw the show as a cheat code for diverse comics who were being ignored in traditional comedy circles. He said, if you go the traditional route, which is Edinburgh, unless you're a middle-class white dude talking about how your cat had cancer or something, you're not going to get nominated. At best, it's one black guy who gets nominated, and that's it for all of us. I am glad I clicked on this. Nabil Abdul Rashid, I am in your corner. Back to the Guardian's list of 10 comics to watch. John Poynting, the Plebs star, was among the first out of the traps under last March's lockdown with his lovable online sitcom Key Worker. Janine Haruni, last year her sketch group Muriel's BBC Three skit, She's Asking For It, broke the record for online views. In 2021, the Edinburgh Best Newcomer nominee joins the cast of Buffering, Love Island narrators Ian Sterling's Modern Day Friends sitcom for ITV2. And the last comedian on the list is Nita Manzoor. Her comedy blap for Channel 4 Lady Parts about a female Muslim punk band was among the most watched ever. This year, she's turning the short into a 6-part series. Keep your eyes peeled. Very good list there from The Guardian. Let's put a lid on today's show and a lid on my iced coffee. You can buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews Follow the podcast on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, wherever you get your shows. Catch you tomorrow.